So many lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson
flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really say? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children all falling into a burning hell.
Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I. For my Savior died on that old rugged cross.
He thought of me when he counted the cost.
How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I
will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will
That's excellent, good song for us this morning. Did you hear it okay? Could you hear all right out there? Was the volume okay? Very good. All right, Proverbs chapter 25. Let's get there in our text this morning, reading the text verse that we have chosen for this meeting this year. Proverbs chapter 25, find that. We'll jump right in to our message this morning. Once you find that, if you are able physically, let's stand together. In honor of God's good word, Proverbs chapter 25, and I'm going to read verse number 25 for us, and then we will pray and be seated. Verse 25 simply says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege today to have this time to preach from your word. God, would you please speak to our hearts? Lord, the song that we just heard, the message of that song ought to be on our hearts these next few days. Lord, if you want me, here am I. And Lord, I know you want us to be a witness in this local area. And Lord, you might put your call on someone to leave as you have in years gone by and go to distant lands. And I pray, God, that if that's your will, I pray the response will be, here am I. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Fill both speaker and listener this morning with your power, I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you, and be seated. Let me speak just on the theme of the conference, Good News from Afar. Every year, as a boy in elementary school, we would take a field trip to Kennesaw Mountain. just northwest of Atlanta. It was a Civil War battlefield, not as well known as Stone Mountain. As a result, it wasn't as commercialized as Stone Mountain, and actually, I preferred going to Kennesaw over Stone Mountain. There was a small museum there with artifacts like musket balls and knives and canteens and uniforms and North and South and papers and lots of pictures of those that participated, the officers especially in the Civil War. We would climb to the top of Kennesaw Mountain by way of a broad path that was made for people traffic. And it was not a steep climb straight up the mountain. It was a road that kind of wound its way back and forth up one side of the mountain. And it was always fun when, as we were walking along that path, we would come to a place in the road where it was wet. You could see it. And that normally meant that the water was coming from a spring somewhere in the woods further up the mountain. And us boys, we would leave the road and we'd follow the wet ground up the mountain until we found where the water was bubbling up right from the ground. It was a spring. And we would get down on our knees and push the leaves away from that source of water, and we'd put our mouths down right close to the ground and suck in that pure spring water. If only I had thought of having a plastic bottle and putting a label on it, I could have made millions by now. But anyway, I didn't think about that back in those days. And I will forget that. My recollection of that water, my first recollection of that water, it was cold. I mean, it was cold. And, to me, it tasted sweet. Now, I don't know if that's just because of where it came from. It was unique that we were drinking it right as it bubbled up out of the ground. Anybody else ever done that? You drank from a spring? Okay, yeah. Mostly everybody that raised their hands is probably 45 years of age and over. I don't know what you kids are doing out there. There's no springs left, I guess. But anyway, I remember that it was cold. I remember that it tasted sweet. And it seemed like whenever we went to Kennesaw Mountain, it was hot. And on hot days, we were always thirsty, climbing up the mountain, and it quenched our thirst. But the thing I remember most is how cold it was. Oh, it's so cold it made your teeth hurt when you sucked it into your mouth. You know, when you're really thirsty, I guess the temperature of the water is not that vital, but the colder the water, the more refreshing it is to someone wanting a drink. And the wisest man who ever lived, his pen, outside of Jesus Christ, his pen penned these words, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. So it's good news from a far country. Now, you know Solomon, he wrote and or collected over 3,000 proverbs during his reign as the king over Israel. A proverb is a maxim. It's a wise saying. They often are written in similes or contrasts. And those proverbs are used to teach a particular truth. And a lot of times each verse in the Proverbs will stand alone by itself. There's no pre or after context to it. It just stands alone all by itself. And in this proverb, Solomon speaks of the blessing of good news from a far country. And he compares it to a thirsty soul receiving a drink of cold water. In other words, what cold water does for a thirsty soul is what hearing good news from a far country does for people. And God put this verse and those words on my heart some months ago as a theme for this meeting. It's a great theme for me and you to consider as we think on our responsibility to send the message of salvation to the uttermost parts of the world. And people, I'm not going to pull any wool over your eyes. I don't think I have to. I don't think I can. You know what missions conferences are all about. They're about sending the gospel to the world. And to send gospel to the world, you need people. And you need money. That's the bottom line. So there's no sense in trying to ignore it. That's what this conference is all about. We're glad to have these families with us, and they're glad to come. But the honest truth of the matter is, they're not here just to pass time. Brother Shipman said this morning, I believe it was his 168th or 160th meeting. that he's been on a deputation. They're at 94%, I believe he said. And Brother Bruner is a little over 50%, I believe you said last night. How many churches you been in, Brother Bruner, so far? You lost count, didn't you? Amen. Plenty, right? Now, they didn't come here just to spend a few days. They came here because they're trying to, Brother Shipman said this morning, they're trying to get to the field. They're trying to get off deputation and get to Australia and get to Germany and to a far country with good news. Now, let me talk just a little bit this morning about this matter. First of all, let me talk to you about good news defined. Good news defined. What do we mean by this good news, okay, from a far country? Go to Mark chapter 16. Go to your New Testament. Mark chapter 16, second gospel there. Mark chapter 16, the very last chapter in the gospel of Mark. And we're going to find good news defined. Good news defined. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, Jesus is speaking. He's died on the cross. He's resurrected from the grave. He has shown himself alive. And he says in verse number 15, in chapter 16 of the Gospel of Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In that verse, we have good news defined. You say, Pastor, I don't see the words good news in that verse. No, but you do see the word gospel. And the word gospel simply means good news. It means good tidings. And people, the gospel is good news because it is the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God sent his only begotten Son from heaven to this earth for the purpose of making it possible for sinful people to be saved. Just like I preached last Sunday morning, an angel came and announced the news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. And you remember the announcement. The announcement was called Good Tidings of Great Joy. That announcement was gospel. It was a gospel message there, a gospel announcement. Hey, there is good news. The kind of good news that brings great joy and the kind of good news that brings great joy is that a Savior has been born. A Savior has come to this world. That was good news, good tidings. Jesus grew at age 33 and a half. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. His body was placed in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to make it a permanent place. He did not stay, his body did not stay in that tomb long enough to see corruption. He rose again on the third day, putting the exclamation point on the gospel work that he finished for salvation. His death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the good news, and that's the good news we are emphasizing these days, the good news of the gospel of salvation, all made possible because God so loved the world. Then, the gospel is also good news because, listen, it carries the power of God that can save any and all who will believe it. Turn over to Romans chapter 1, just quickly to your right. I'm just going to give you some very, very familiar verses this morning. Nothing fancy. Very, very simple. Romans chapter 1. And you know the verse. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Paul is writing to the church there at Rome. And he uses that word gospel, that good news, that good tidings. And he says in verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel has power. It has power to save any and all who will believe it and receive it. And people, it has to be more than just believed. It has to be received. Later on in Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to receive the message. You only have to not only believe it in your heart, you have to receive it. And when a person believes that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for their sins, and then receives it by confessing their need of Christ to God and trusting in Him, Christ, and Christ only, the Bible says that gospel message carries the power to save their lost soul. And I just want to remind you this morning, folks, there is nothing else that carries the power to save people from their sin other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not against missionary families using medicine. I'm not against missionary families using agriculture when they go as a way, as a means to the end of giving the gospel. I am not for missionary efforts that are solely about agriculture, solely about medicine, and ignore the need to get people the gospel. Medicine can make people well physically, but there is no medicine made on earth that can heal a sin-sick soul. There is only one medicine for that. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the gospel of Christ carries the power to save people. The baptistry does not carry that power. A church membership role does not carry that kind of power. Self-mutilation does not carry that power. Do you understand? There are people all over the world who mutilate themselves physically in hopes of winning peace with some little g god. Mutilating, cutting yourself, marking yourself. There's no power in that to save your soul. That kind of stuff does not carry power. No amount of good works creates that power. Money cannot buy that power. Genetics cannot convey that power. Citizenship does not bear that power. Only the gospel has power to save, and it only saves those who believe. That's good news defined, folks. Good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that we're talking about, the good news that the Shipmans are going to Germany to preach, the good news that the Bruners are going to Australia to preach, the good news that the Baxters are going to South Sudan to preach, the good news that Brother McCurry is putting out by way of hundreds of tracts. The good news is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's good news defined. Now, secondly, this morning, let me talk for a little bit about good news necessary. Good news necessary. I want you to turn. You're right there in Romans chapter 1. Look at chapter 3. Good news necessary. In chapter 3, I'll show you a couple of verses. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 23, you know the verses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now look up here. There is a definite reason why the good news of the gospel needs to be sent around the world. You know why that is? It's because of the twofold punch of the bad news. They need to hear the good news because there's a twofold punch of bad news. Number one, there's bad news for people everywhere. The first part of that bad news is that all people are sinners. All people. People, look, it's more than people are guilty of just a couple of small wrongs in life. It's more than that. It's more than people have made just a few mistakes. It's more than that. It's more than people have told just a few small lies. It's more than that. It's more than what people have done. It's what people are that is bad. Now, I know what is politically correct, and in some cases even spiritually correct to say. There's a spark of good in everybody. People are basically good. There are just a few real bad eggs. Folks don't want to talk about sin. Osteen has made it a mark of his preaching ministry, admitting he never uses the word sin, never preaches on sin. Look, the Bible has a different message for people than that. It's really not about what people have done or people have not done. It's what people are that's the problem. People are sinners. I've used the illustration over and over again over the years. No parent has ever had to teach their children how to lie. No parent has ever had to teach their child how to be selfish. No parent has ever had to teach their child how to disobey. It comes naturally. It's because of the sin nature. And people get all hung up with the things they have done, the things that I have done, the things that I have not done, the things that I have done aren't as bad as, you know, what I could have done, and not as bad as others. And that has nothing to do with it. Nothing. The truth of the matter is, it is not what we have done or not done, as I've said. It's what we are. We're sinners. Last Saturday, I was speaking with a gentleman who did not want to recognize that truth. He was a little bit, wasn't terribly argumentative, but a little bit, I would say just not ugly, not a combative sense, but argumentative about, well, I've never done the big things. And I think he even used the terminology, you know, I've told a few small lies. I didn't know there was a thing, but difference between a small lie and a big lie. I didn't know that. But somehow, you know, in his mind, he managed to, you know, avoid all the big stuff. And I told you, I took him to James chapter 2 and verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And you know what Scripture did? Scripture silenced his argument. He was quiet. He didn't bring it up anymore. And then he got real inquisitive and asking questions, and he was ready to receive the good news. Now look, I don't want to make it sound as if, you know, quantity of sins is not important, but people, it's really not about how many sins a person has committed. It's about the fact that all people everywhere have sinned because they are sinners. And we're not just barely sinners. We are over our head, lost in sin with a depraved nature that came with our conception in our mother's womb. As the song so rightly says, sin has tainted our every word, thought, and deed. That's bad news. Would you agree? That's bad news. That's one of the reasons why the good news has got to be sent. Because the bad news is that all people are sinners, and that's bad news for every person. But church, the bad news doesn't end there. There is more. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. You know the verse where I'm going. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. There's the rest of the bad news is that sin carries a price tag, and sin has to be paid for. The Bible wrote in the chapter 6, verse 23, Paul wrote there in the scripture, for the wages of sin is death. And the death he's referring to here is not just when physical life leaves the body. It's when the spirit is separated from God forever in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. All liars. I showed that man that verse last Saturday. I said, here's all your big stuff. But then he puts lying in there. Have you ever told a lie? He had already admitted he told a few small lies. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, people. We dare not let these verses become so familiar to us that they lose all meaning. The punishment for sin is the lake of fire. The lake of fire is outer darkness. The lake of fire is agony. The lake of fire is thirst. The lake of fire is separation. And worst of all, the lake of fire is eternal. It is not some dark state of mental existence. All of the physical senses are in play in the lake of fire. I won't have you turn to it. But in Luke chapter 16, Jesus did not tell a parable. He told an actual story about two men who died. Lazarus died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he never trusted Christ. And people in hell, he could taste. Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He could taste. He had the physical sense of taste. In hell, he could feel. He said, I'm in agony. In hell, he could see. He looked across and he saw Abraham and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. In hell, he could hear. He heard Abraham talk. And even though we are not told it specifically, no doubt he could probably smell. It's a place where the physical senses are intact. That's bad news. That's bad news. The mental faculties are in play as well in hell. That same man could think in the past, present, and future. He remembered that he had five brothers. Remember the conversation he had with Abraham? Lord, Abraham, could you please send Lazarus to my father's house? I have five brothers who are there. So he thought in the past, I have five brothers. He knew his brothers were at his father's house. So he was thinking in the present. That's where they are. They're at dad's house. And he thought in the future tense. He said, if Lazarus went to speak to them, they would listen. People, I'm just reminding us this morning, he is having all of this physical, the activity of his physical senses and his mental senses, all of this is going on as he is falling and burning and in agony in the place called hell. We dare not let our familiarity with the verses help us to lose its meaning. It's real. That's bad news. That's real bad news. And that's where every man, woman, boy, girl, red, brown, yellow, black, white, does not matter ethnicity. The human race is all of one blood, and that blood is tainted with sin. And the price for that sin is eternal separation from God forever in hell. What an awful punishment. That's bad news. That's why good news is necessary. Because knowing the bad news, it's even more imperative that people hear the good news. Oh, how good news needs to follow bad news. You know, it was bad news in September 1939 when Germany invaded Poland. It was good news in May 1945 when Germany surrendered. It was bad news in December 1941 when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. It was good news in August 1945 when Japan surrendered. It was bad news in September 2001 when the fanatical Muslims led by Osama bin Laden attacked our country. It was good news in May 2011, almost 10 years later, when bin Laden was killed. I mean, it's really helpful when good news follows bad news. Can I tell us, church, can I remind us this morning, there never has been any worse news than to hear all people who die without Christ suffer in hell. And there never has been any greater good news than to hear that Christ died, was buried, and rose again so people don't have to suffer in hell. That's good news necessary. Aren't you thankful that somebody brought you the good news? Whew. My gracious. Good news defined. What is good news? It's the gospel. Good news necessary. Why is the gospel needed? Because of the bad news. All have sinned. And can I finish this morning, number three, by talking just a few minutes about good news unheard. Good news unheard. Look at Romans chapter 10. Turn just a few places, a few pages in your Bible to Romans chapter 10. That beautiful, beautiful verse. Verse number 13, what a promise. Verse number 13 is a wonderful, what? Thank God for Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. That's still a good promise, folks. Still a good promise. That's good news for sure. What a wonderful promise to everyone who will call on Christ for salvation. That promise who is good to whosoever, whosoever, if you call, you will be saved. The problem is how many have yet to hear the good news. Look at the next verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And here's the question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are some in the outback of Australia going to hear unless Brother Bruner and his wife get to that field? Brother Shipman talked about the difficulties of serving on the European continent. Folks, you think there are dead churches here in the States? You're talking about dead countries in Europe. It's pathetic. It's horrible. But God still loves those German people. And it's still possible for them to be saved if they hear. Some might say, wait, 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 the task to send a preacher so everyone can hear the good news is impossible. But the number of people hearing good news starts to multiply as it goes from person to person and group to group and radio broadcast to radio broadcast. And don't forget the printed page and the Bibles and the New Testaments and the parts of the New Testaments and tracts. Good news can travel far and wide if people will just use the mediums that are available in today's world of communication. If we'll obey the command, if we'll just assume responsibility, good news can fly around the world. Sometimes we're so narrow in our thinking. And we look at sending, you know, Brother Bruner to Australia or Brother Shipman to Germany. But people, listen, folks get saved in those ministries and then God reaches down and takes people from those ministries and sends them out. We have missionaries that we've been supporting in far countries around the world who are now sending converts and disciples of their own ministries to other countries. It multiplies. Somebody said money doesn't go far these days. It goes real far when you give it to missions. I'll tell you that much. It goes a long way. Will every person hear? I'm not sure that's the question. The question is, will they hear in time? Will they hear in time? Because I believe the far countries of the world can be reached with the good news. And the question for you and me is, will we do our part to get the good news to people who need to hear it in time? In time. In Jewish history, the nation of Israel's history, during the days of Mordecai and Esther, the Jews received some very bad news. That bad news, they were all to be killed on a certain day. You know why? For simply being Jewish. They were all going to be killed. And that news went out, that became a law, and that news went out all over the 127 provinces that King Ahasuerus reigned over. God worked miraculously. And he overthrew the wicked plan that was devised by Haman to kill all the Jews. Here's the problem. The bad news of the old law could not be reversed. So the king created a new law with good news. The good news was that the Jews could defend themselves, take up weapons, and be ready on the day that they come to kill you, fight back. That was good news. But there was a huge problem that existed. The bad news that all the Jews were to be killed on a certain day had already been delivered. The good news that they could defend themselves had not been delivered. And the day of their scheduled death was short. The king sent as many servants as he could find on mules and camels to deliver the good news. All of that story to tell you this. The Bible says that when those servants went out, and I'm quoting now, they went out, quote, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. Boys, you got to go and you got to go fast. You can't stop for anything. Get to your destination. The bad news has to be countered by the good news. And time is running out. And those men went out on those mules and camels, hastened and pressed on by the commandment of the king. That's why we have this meeting every year. That's why these missionary families come in, not just in September, but all year long. Because the bad news that all are sinners and sinners die and go to hell without Christ, the bad news has to be countered by the good news that Christ came, he died, he was buried, the debt's paid for, he rose again. But time's running out. Time's running out. And this is why it's good for us to set this time aside and be reminded and think on the fact, you know, we get back to preaching on topics about interpersonal relationships and how to have a proper family and how to read your Bible and how to pray, and all of that's wonderful. But folks, the clock is ticking. Do we not all see the precursor of the tribulation period? Do we not all see it now? All the groundwork is being laid. Those sins in Revelation chapter 9, that during the tribulation people don't repent of, murders, thefts, sorceries, fornication. The seeds of those sins are sown everywhere. Everywhere. Everything's already in place. The clock is ticking. Let me ask you a question. What if you had a loved one living in a far country and they needed to hear the good news that Jesus saves? And you knew that 1 year from now, Jesus would have already come. What would you do to get them the good news? That's simply what I'm asking us this morning. Some of you, many of you, are participating faithfully in giving so that we can just take missionaries on. We can help missionaries with buildings. Wednesday night, we voted to help Brother Painter. He was here last year at this time. He's already in Thailand. They're already seeing people saved. They need a place to meet. They have ground. They were going to put a tent up, but the tent is a third of the cost of a concrete building. And so he made a plea for churches to help with putting building. And we gave some money for that. Brother Demeris, they just had the New Testament translated into Tswana. The Tswana, am I saying that right, Brother Bragg? Do you know the Tswana language over there in South Africa? And Brother Demeris, we gave $1,500 Wednesday night. You know, you say, well, we got missions money. Missionaries need buildings. They need Bibles. They need translated material. What a wonderful blessing that we can help get the good news to a far country. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to put pressure on you. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying that you'll ask the Lord what you should do. Said this every year, if every family in this church, and even some of you college-age kids, you're able, you make money. If every one of us would just pray, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? in giving beyond my tithe, beyond the tithe, to help get the good news to people who are running out of time to hear. I'm not a date setter. We very well could be here this time next year, but I don't think any of us would be surprised if in the next 3 or 4 years we're not in heaven. I don't think we'd be surprised. And that's wonderful. But that means time is running out. Time is running out. As cold water to a thirsty soul. You ever been really thirsty? As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news, the gospel, from a far country to somebody who's lost and dying without Christ. Father, I pray that you'll help us in these days. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. We're so thankful for the good news of the gospel of Christ. So thankful. Lord, it's necessary because of the bad news. The bad news that every boy, girl, man, or woman that dies without Christ will suffer in hell. Oh God, what do you want me to do? God, I give myself to you. I've been giving a healthy amount to Faith Promise Missions every week now for many, many years. But Lord, I give myself to you fresh and anew. What do you want me to do this coming year? Would you put that same request on the hearts and lips of your people in this room? Lord, if there's some young person or young adult, some middle-aged adult, and you're working in their heart, not for their money, but for their life to go, I pray that, God, we would not be fearful to surrender. Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name, as only you can. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask a couple of questions this morning. How many folk in the building today would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. Thank God somebody came to me with the good news of the gospel. And I am a born-again child of God, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. Could you slip your hand in the air if that's your testimony this morning? Be honest about it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here this morning? You'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven when I die. I didn't raise my hand just a moment ago, but I'll raise it now to admit to God I don't know where I'm going when I die. Would you slip your hand up if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven? When you leave this world, could I pray for you? Anybody like that today? You're not sure that you're saved. Side to side, front to back, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Now, if you've been saved and you came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, while we're waiting, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can slip out toward the back now, and the folks will be there to help you prepare for that. I know we have somebody here, just it's taken care of, Brother Scott. While we wait. Now listen. Church, would you just pray about it? What if this is the last year? What if this is it? It may or may not be, I don't know, but what if it is? Let's obey God. Pastor, God has my heart. I'll be asking him what he would have me do to send good news to a far country. I'll be asking God that question. Can I see your hand this morning if you're sitting in the auditorium? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, speak to our hearts as only you can. This time in Jesus' name, while our heads are bowed, the music will begin. You can turn your prayer, your chair into an altar. You can come to the front and stand or kneel here. It's a little bit awkward or different, I know, and there's no aisles, but you can make your way through the crowd. You raised your hand. Would you turn your chair to an altar right there as you stand or sit? Would you just ask the Lord, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? You've heard sermons. You've heard messages. You've seen the example of it in the Bible itself. This is just a time for us to recalibrate, rethink, reconsider that hell's a real place. People who die without Christ spend eternity there. And we have the opportunity to send good news
to a far country. We have opportunity to help with buildings. We have an opportunity to help with Bible translations and printed materials. We have those opportunities because people give and give faithfully. We have missionaries that we took on a year ago who are already on the field reaching some people with the gospel. That's wonderful. Have that own way, Lord, is the song that she's playing. Can you say that to the Lord this morning and mean it from your heart? God, have your way in my life. In this very specific matter of sending good news to far countries. Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach from your word this morning. I pray that you will bless the remainder of the day. In the next several days, as we ponder as a church your will for us, thank you for the privilege of helping to send good news to near countries and far and everywhere in between. In Jesus' name is our prayer made. Amen.